Good evening. We were talking this morning on the great steward, that is Jesus Christ, and we were noticing John chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, you turn there with us again. John 17, Jesus as the great steward, speaking of the things that God gave to him in his prayer and how he managed and took good care of those things. And we found in verse number 2 that he was given power. And that word power is the word exousia, and it means that he was given authority. And certainly after Jesus completed his mission, as he talked about it even in that particular text, talked about it as if it was already completed, that he had finished the work that God gave him to do. And Jesus said that all power and authority had been given to him, Matthew 28, in heaven and in earth. So he has all authority. And we found that God had given him all mankind, all flesh was given unto him, was under his authority, or under his jurisdiction. And so Jesus also has the power and authority given him of the Father to execute judgment on earth. And so all men are amenable to him, and they should recognize his authority. We know that we live in a world where some do not recognize Christ's authority, but it cannot be done without dire consequences. And then secondly, we notice that Jesus was also given work. And he said that that work that he was given of the Father, he had completed. And we found that Jesus was one who was very passionate about the work that he was given from God. He was very prompt about the timing of that work, that he must work the works while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And seeing that he was very prompt, he made the most of his opportunities, and he did the work that God gave him to do. As we continue tonight, we will notice that Jesus was also a great steward of the pupils he was given. John chapter 17. And notice first verse number 6.
I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world.
Now you notice again that Jesus says that it was the men that thou gavest me. And so notice his consideration of these men. Jesus viewed these men as gifts, as literal gifts that had been given to him and entrusted to him from his Father. You know, a steward is one who manages something that belongs to another. And so Jesus actually speaks of the disciples as belonging to the Father, but having been delivered unto him. Read verse 6 again.
I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world.
Thine they were.
Thine they were,
read.
And thou gavest them me. And
thine they were, but thou gavest them to me. So you see Jesus's consideration of these men. They were yours, but you gave them to me. So literally he recognizes the disciples as gifts that was given to him by God and entrusted to him for good keeping. And certainly the Lord is going to be a good steward of those men, and he was a good steward of those men. You might notice also his commendation of them at the latter part of that verse. What did he say?
They have kept thy word.
So we see his consideration of those men, and we also see his commendation of those men, that those men had followed him, that they had actually allowed Jesus as their leader and as their teacher to disciple them. They were learners. They sat at his feet and followed him right on until the point of the cross before they were scattered, and later they would come back and be faithful to him in the work that he had for them to do. And so he says, they have kept thy word. As a great steward of those men, Jesus spoke of what he did while he was with them. Notice verse number 12. Notice his care for these individuals.
While I was with them,
I
kept them in thy name.
Now listen, Jesus says, while I was with them in the world. Then he says, I kept them in thy name. Now, that's interesting because Jesus saw many take offense to him and walk away from him and leave him and would not be discipled by him. In John 6:66, the Bible says that from that time, many of his disciples walked back or went away and walked no more with him. In John chapter 7, verse number 5, the Bible says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. So there may be some people in our lives that has been given to us of which we ought to be good stewards. Everybody has something that and someone that has been entrusted to them. Do you believe that you have someone that maybe you can consider a gift given from God in your life? Well, then maybe we ought to answer the question. Maybe we ought to consider the statement and examine ourselves of the statement that Jesus makes in reference to the men that was given to him. Jesus says, while I was with them. I believe elders need to consider that. I believe every elders need to either take that statement and they need to apply it to themselves so that they would be able to give an account for their stewardship. So every elder should be able to say, while I was with them, in reference to God's flock over which they are shepherds. I believe every preacher should have to deal with that. Every preacher should be saying, while I was with them, in reference to speaking sound doctrine that cannot be condemned. You know, because actually when you are a preacher of the gospel, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one thing you need to make sure of is that you speak sound doctrine and that you preach the entire or the whole counsel of God. That we don't move away from those difficult subjects, or that we don't shy away from the things that are necessary, and that we don't run from the controversy because it is necessary for the benefit of God's people. So every preacher should have to say, while I was with them. You think the Apostle Paul could give a good account of his stewardship? Oh, certainly he could. Do you think men like Peter, who served as elders in the Lord's flock, could give a good account of their stewardship? Certainly they could over God's flock. Every deacon should consider this. While I was with them in reference to serving that local congregation. Every member should have to deal with this in terms of examining themselves and saying, while I was with them in reference to membership of that local congregation. Every parent should have to consider this question. While I was with them in reference to rearing their children. I have no doubt that there are many children that are messed up because they had messed up parents. And parents ought to have to answer this. They have to deal with this and examine themselves. While I was with them in reference to rearing them. Every man who has been given a wife needs to be a good steward of that wife. How would you complete the statement? Jesus said, while I was with them, he says, I kept them in thy name. Can elders say that? While I was with them, how would you finish the sentence? While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, or I watched over them in thy name. You see, they are the ones who are watching for the souls of individuals. God is concerned when one member of the flock is lost. When one goes astray, God is concerned. Elders have to answer that question. While I was with them, I watched over their souls in thy name. Preachers need to finish that statement. While I was with them, I taught them in thy name. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So while I was with them, I taught them thy word in thy name. My friend, when you teach something in the name of Jesus, you are teaching it by his authority. You have to make sure it is correct according to scripture. Deacons, I served while I was with them in thy name. What is our motivation for serving? What is our motivation for preaching and teaching? What is our motivation for shepherding over God's flock? Should we not do it in light of him, in his name, by his authority? Seeking his glory, was that not what made Jesus the great steward that he was? Was he not doing it for the glory of his Father? Father, I have glorified thy name in the earth, and so therefore Jesus was a great steward of everything God gave him. If God gave him power, he utilized that power to the best of his abilities so that other men and women could come to salvation. He utilized that authority. He did it also with that word. Jesus also took care of those men that was given to him. Members, while I was with them, how would you finish that sentence? I associated with them and fellowshipped with them in thy name. You know, sad thing about it is there are always going to be members in every local congregation that don't want anything to do with the membership in that local congregation. Amen, Walls, if you don't know what I'm talking about. You ought to be able to recognize them. They don't want anything to do with you. Maybe it's y'all. That's why you're looking at me like that. In other words, while I was with them, what did I do in reference to the local congregation? These are God's people. And yet you're always going to have Christians that care more about their relationships in the world than they do with those in Christ. You don't want to get close to folks in the church because you don't want anyone in your business. But you're going to have to answer the question one day. While I was with them, did I associate with them in thy name? Did I take part in that fellowship in thy name? Was there any joint participation and sharing in thy name in that local congregation? If you walked away from the congregation now, would you even be missed? Parents, while I was with them, I reared them in thy name. Husbands, while I was with her, while she was in my care, I loved her in thy name. You see, Jesus can finish that sentence because he was a great steward. Are we great stewards of the people that has been given to us? While I was with them, everyone's going to have to give an account one day of their stewardship. While I was with them, I did this, Lord, in thy name. I kept them in thy name. I watched over them in thy name. I preached thy word in thy name. I reared my children in thy name. I served them in thy name. I was active, participating in the local congregation, enhancing thy will and thy word in thy name. I loved my wife, Lord, in thy name. I obeyed my husband in thy name. Are you a good steward of what God has given you? Jesus was. And he kept those men in God's name. Finally, Jesus was a great steward of the word he was given. Look at John 17 and notice verse number 8.
For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me.
Jesus said, I have given unto them the words that thou hast given unto me. Come on, read.
And they have received them.
Jesus praised the disciples for responding to the message that he gave them from the Father. You see, there are many things that folks can do with the Word of God. Some folks reject the Word of God. Some folks mock the Word of God. Some folks change the Word of God. People do a lot of things with the Word of God. But these men received the Word of God. And they kept the Word of God. And you know, when it comes to the Word of God, what we really need to do is look at our model. We need to look at what did Jesus do with the word of God. Well, let me show you two things in particular. Look at Acts chapter 1 and notice verse number 1. Jesus did something with the word. Two things he did with the word. Let's find out what they were. How does it read, bro?
The former treaties. I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach.
Did you catch that? That's what Jesus did with the word. That's what made him a great steward of it. The Bible says he did and he taught. In other words, he lived God's word. He was a literal fulfillment of the prophecies that were spoken of him. But he also perfectly embodied the principles contained in his own teachings. He was a perfect example of the very principles he taught. Luke says, I'm writing unto you of all the things that Jesus both began to do and to teach. Luke mentions what Christ did before he mentions what Christ taught. Christ came to do the will of his Father. When you get a chance, you look at Hebrews chapter 10, 5 through 7. You know, there were many great men that are given to us and spoken to us in terms of scripture. Abraham was said to be a wonderful man of faith. Moses is a man who was known for his meekness. Solomon was a man known for his wisdom. David for his wonderful heart. Abraham was even called the friend of God. The Apostle Paul was known for his great perseverance. But there was no prophet, priest, king, or apostle that it could be said that kept God's will perfectly. That distinction belongs only to one person in all of history, in all the history of mankind, and that is Jesus Christ.
He was a great steward of the word because he absolutely lived it out perfectly. Now, when you consider all the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach, notice when John makes an inquiry concerning Christ, the order in which Jesus tells him some things were being accomplished. Look at Matthew chapter 11 and notice verse number 4 and verse number 5. How does it read?
Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see.
Now, John has asked, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? And notice what Jesus says. Tell John what? The blind have received their sight.
And
the lame are walking.
The lepers are
cleansed.
And the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up.
Yes, sir.
And the poor have the gospel preached to them.
Now you will notice, John was asking, are you the one, or do we look for another? But Jesus mentioned all these things that he was doing, and lastly, that the gospel is being preached to the poor. Luke says, I'm writing unto you, O Theophilus, of all the things that Jesus both began to do and to teach. When John wants to know, are you the one? Jesus says, look at what I'm doing. Look at all of these good works. And then the gospel is also being preached to the poor. Because Jesus was a doer, he does not look favorably upon those who are not doers. You see, at some point, Jesus is going to call man to give an account of his stewardship. And while Jesus was here, he was a doer. He taught, but he was a doer first and then a teacher. He practiced what he preached. He lived out the message. Notice Matthew 23 regarding those in Israel who were leaders and who were the authority of those days in speaking those things came from God, who was supposed to be able to teach people the word of God. Notice Jesus' assessment of them in Matthew 23, verse 2 and 3. How does it read?
The scribes and the Pharisees
sit in Moses' seat. They sit in Moses' seat. Come on, read.
All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe.
Now, because they sit in Moses' seat and have seats of authority, because they are the scribes of the law and the Pharisees, and they are for the point of teaching, he says, then all that they observe you, that observe and do, but what?
But do not ye after their works.
But don't do after their works, for why?
For they say
and do not. Now, did you notice the difference between them and Jesus? Jesus did and said. They said and did not. Jesus didn't have any place for them with him because they were not doers of the word. Consider what John says when he concludes his book. The last verse in the book of John is John 21 and verse number 25. And notice that John, in his final statement, makes reference to what Jesus was doing. Come on, read.
And there are also many other things which Jesus did.
Listen. There are also many other things which Jesus did.
The which, if they should be written,
everyone,
I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
Now, isn't that quite a statement? In reference to what Jesus did? Now, that might be hyperbole, exaggerated to some extent for emphasis. But you get the idea very quickly that Jesus was busy, that Jesus was doing, that Jesus was living that life. He was living that teaching, and he did that first before he taught. I was talking to a young man yesterday. We were at the YMCA, and we've been playing ball for a little while. And Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you this story because I'm anywhere near Jesus. That's not why I'm telling you this. I'm just telling you in a little small way what I was doing. Now, I've been talking to this guy. We've been playing ball together. And then finally, after we had played ball, he was sitting on the sideline. And I came over to him, and I was talking to him. And then I said, hey, man, you know I'm a preacher. He looked up and smiled. He said, yeah, you really? He said, yeah, man, wow. I said, yeah, I'm at the Newport News Church of Christ, 72nd and Jefferson. You know where that is? So he told me he know where that is and all that. I said, I need you to come and visit with us. I need you to come and see us. You ever heard of Church of Christ? So we went on through this conversation. Anyway, he said something in reference to, he said, well, man, I didn't know that. I knew something was different. He said, because I never hear you use foul language and stuff. So he said, so that's why I stopped cursing. Because I was trying to respect you, you know. He said, I noticed that you don't say anything like that. So he said, I was telling him, I said, well, I didn't tell you right away because I wanted you to be able to be yourself. If I had told you I was a preacher right away, I said, you probably would have started acting differently. And I wouldn't have got to see who you are. I said, so I withheld that for a little while, hung around with you, played ball with you. And I said, and I know you're a good guy. And I said, now we just need you to come on and learn about Jesus. And he just started smiling. My point for saying that is this. We don't have to go around and toot our horn by telling people who we are. If you are a Christian, folk gonna notice something's different about you. So that when you reveal to them that you are a Christian and that you want to bring them to Christ, they're going to be able to put together what you did with now what you're saying. If I had been on that basketball court acting crazy and falling out and doing all kinds of antics and saying bad words and all those kind of things, no point of me ever telling that man I'm a preacher. Wouldn't have done any good. You see, the thing about Jesus is Jesus didn't have to go around telling people. And in fact, a lot of times he wouldn't tell them who he was. He wouldn't tell them he was the Son of God right away. They weren't ready for that. He would not tell them necessarily straight that he was the Messiah. What he did was he let his works and his actions and his life speak for him. So Luke says all the things that he first did, and then he began to teach. My friend, when John concludes, John says, if everything was written that he did, I believe the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Now, you think about that for a moment. And you think about what could have been written about the life of Christ. You think about that we have a small sampling of what he actually did. We have a small sampling. I mean, we've seen men biographies, and they're much greater than what Christ's biography, how it reads. Now, let me ask you this. Can you imagine? I mean, consider the wisdom of God from condensing the information. Could you imagine 150 volumes of this? Well, could you? I mean, considering what God has asked us to do regarding his word, think about 150 volumes of this, and God is asking us not only to read it, but to understand it and to learn it and to meditate upon it and to live it. Now, if there was 150 volumes, if God was desired to put everything that Jesus did and it came out to be about 150 volumes, my friends, wouldn't we be in trouble? I mean, I can imagine people saying, well, man, I done read the seventh volume. Mercy. You see, it would have been taxing. It would have been tedious. It would have been difficult. And what he did was he condensed just what we needed so that we might believe and have faith. And he put enough information in there for us to be able to meditate on it, learn it, consider it, and do it. Well, I'll tell you, Jesus certainly lived out exactly what he taught. He did, and then he taught God's word. Jesus knew that in order for man to truly be successful, he would have to live according to the word that God had given. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. In John 8:31, notice what Jesus says to those Jews. Then, go ahead and read.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him,
if you continue in my word, then what?
Then you are my disciples indeed.
Then are ye my disciples indeed. Jesus continued in the Father's word. Luke says of all those things he both began to do and to teach. And Jesus expects the same of us. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32, he says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Was Jesus a great steward? I believe he was. He was a great steward of the power that God had given him. He was a great steward of the word, of the works that God had given him. He was a great steward of the pupils that God had given him. He was a great steward of the word that God had given him. So faithful was he to it that he absolutely lived every word, and he lived it perfectly. Do you want to be a great steward? We found out that God has given us some things. And the things that God has given us, we may not have the same manifestation of power that Jesus had, but we certainly have the power of influence. Are you a good steward of that? We certainly have works. We have spiritual works that God has given us. Are we a great stewards of the works that God has given us? Well, we ought to be. But we're going to need to be passionate about those works. We're going to need to be prompt about those works. What did Jesus say? These works that he has been given, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. So Jesus was active, and he was busy in taking care of those things that was given to him by his Father. My friend, you can be a great steward as well. You can be a great steward of the word. We must teach it just the way God has given it. And if God puts anyone in our care, we ought to try our level best to preach and teach to them the gospel and bring them to Jesus Christ. And if we'll just be faithful to the people that God has given us, then we also can be good stewards of those who have been given to us in our lives, whether it's friends, whether it's family, whether it's children, whether it's members of the congregation, whether we occupy some position in the church as shepherds, as preachers, as deacons, then we ought to be able to answer those questions, or we ought to be able to make that statement and give an account of our stewardship. While I was with them, I kept them. I taught them. I served them. I loved them. I watched for them. I participated with them. We can't do that, maybe we're not the stewards that God would approve of. If you're here tonight, you want to be a good steward of these things, it starts with you getting into Christ Jesus. You cannot be a good steward of the things he gave you unless you get in Christ. If you believe in his Son, repent of your sins, confess his sweet name, if you're willing to be added to his body through the water grave of baptism, by submitting thereto, my friends, and then you can have your sins remitted, remove, come out of that water, a new creature in Christ, and then be faithful to the things that God has given you. And in the end, when you give an account of your stewardship, you'll hear God saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That word servant, steward. Well done, thy good and faithful steward. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of life which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That would be a wonderful word to hear, wouldn't it? If you need to respond to this invitation, if you need to come to Christ, or if you need to make things right with the church or with God, we give you an opportunity to do so right now as we stand and sing the invitation song.